We now recognize the gentleman from Iowa, Mr. Tom Latham, for 5 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chairman McKeon, for giving members the opportunity to bring their priorities and concerns to the committee in this open process. As you know, in order to meet the requirements of the Budget Control Act, the Air Force intends to substantially cut its force structure, with the majority of cuts coming from the Air National Guard. Like you have expressed, I'm also concerned that changes are being recommended to Congress based purely on meeting the right budget number in the short term and not based on the national security environment or the finding a more cost-effective force structure. I'm greatly concerned that just one F-16 unit out of the entire Air Force, the Air National Guard 132nd Fighter Wing in Des Moines, was singled out for elimination under the plan, with no justification given. When I asked a senior Air Force leader why this unit was chosen, I was told that it was simply a judgment call. Obviously, I'm concerned about the economic impact in Iowa and the future of those airmen, but I also am most concerned that it appears that the decision was made using non-strategic criteria, and that the greater cost effectiveness of relying on Air Guard units was completely ignored. I believe the decision would have three significant national security implications. First, eliminating these multi-role fighters in nearly 500 positions would be an irreversible decision. It takes at least 10 years to achieve the average level of experience of Guard pilots and maintainers. At the same time, in order to manage uncertainty about the future strategic environment, Secretary Panetta's new military strategy released in January insists on reversibility in any reduction of capabilities, ensuring they can be quickly regenerated if the need arises. Secondly, the Air National Guard will be flying F-16s for many years, even decades into the future, indefinitely, in fact, since the Air Force has yet to submit a long-range plan for them, and most incoming F-35 aircraft will be flown by active components. So the Guard will need to maintain expertise in operating F-16s for a very long time. Third, having the most advanced aircraft is important, but adequate numbers of airframes also matter, because an aircraft and its pilot cannot be in two places at the same time. We currently have the smallest and oldest Air Force in our history, which is a significant challenge given the new military strategy places renewed focus on the Asia-Pacific region. According to the American Enterprise Institute, quote, no matter how capable weapons systems might be on an individual level, the Asia-Pacific domain demands adequate numbers of key platforms, end quote. The concern is that enormous distances between bases and potential targets in the region could spread aircraft too widely, limit dwell times over targets, and limit fighter coverage. I agree with Senator Graham, who recently said on the Senate floor concerning the Air Force plan that, quote, keeping the active duty first approach will mean smaller and smaller forces that are stretched thinner and thinner and cannot respond where and when we need them to. Finally, there's the issue of making the most of each taxpayer dollar, which is precisely what Congress should be doing and what the American people expect in response to budget constraints. Air Guard F-16s bring greater experience and lower operating costs, both personnel and infrastructure. Yet the Air Force ignores the cost effectiveness of the Guard as a way to achieve additional cost savings. They have replied upon what many believe is a flawed costing model, which compares deployed members only and concludes that reservists cost more than active duty members. As for infrastructure efficiencies, the Air National Guard has access to $5.9 billion in community airport infrastructure for $20,600,000 per year, the equivalent of renting a $300,000 house for $87 a month. The Department of Defense and GAO are currently conducting a new study on comparative cost effectiveness mandated in last year's defense bill. The study will also examine what mix of forces could carry out the range of missions anticipated under the National Military Strategy. The results of the study are due to the committee of June of this year. Before we allow the Air Force to shift the active duty reserve component mix back to the Cold War ratio of the 1990s, we need to have these results. We face a very challenging defense budget. Let's work to minimize cuts to capabilities we need in the long term. I believe that the members of the committee understand the seriousness of this issue, and I know they will do what's best for the future of our nation's defenses. And I thank the gentleman very much for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. You pointed out very well the problem that we have facing us, that we were given a budget by the president, and that was built off of a speech that he gave a little over a year ago that we needed to cut another $400 billion out of defense because it was such a big target. And then instead of picking what our needs are, what our risks are, and then devising a budget to meet that, we've backed into solving our risks to meet the smaller budget. And what that does then is increase the risk. So I appreciate you pointing this out, and we will definitely look at this as we go through the process. It's going to be tough working all of these things out, but I think that people need to really understand how serious this is. I was sitting down at the Pentagon a few months ago, and our top military leader told me at the end of that meeting, I've been in this business for 37 years, and this is the most serious I've ever seen our situation our nation's in. So I think that we really need to take all of that into consideration as we go through this process. Thank you very much.
I thank the chairman very much for your opportunity.